Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Think and Be Wise. And today we're talking about part two of God, Sex, and Spirituality. What does God have to say? What does sex have to do with God? And what does spirituality have to do with being able to know God for yourself and being able to be a person who is involved in a real situation? We were talking with our guest, Tashia. Love Tashia Asante. She's with us, and this is part two of a conversation that got right down to the end. And it kept going and kept going, and we've got more requests to go to part two. And so we're going to talk today about God, sex, and spirituality, part two. Good afternoon, Tashia.
Blessings, Pastor Carl White. It's good to be here with you again. And as we share this medicine and wisdom, I love your show. I've been listening to past episodes, so I'm so excited about the part two of today's conversation, as well as some of these hot topics that I get to be guest with you in the very near future. So yeah, let's jump into it. I'm excited.
Yeah, it has been one of those times when, you know, we had a lot of feedback and a lot of people were interested. And it seems that the concept of God that people have, sometimes it can be troubling. And especially conflictions, and, you know, especially when we look at it from a single vision that people, you know, they've got to know God and go through God and get to God by this special handler or this special person. And so having a larger and a more expansive understanding of God, it has helped you. So how is it your understanding of God has become, let's say, nuanced or and become more practical in your life?
Well, I think, and we talked about this a little bit, Pastor, in show one, we talked about, the evolution of our spiritual and religious journeys, you know, particularly as a woman of African descent, a woman of conscience and color, how I've been able to reconcile my journey, my spiritual and religious journey, being a PK, a preacher's kid, growing up in the church, having a profound connection and deep blessings that I received from my, you know, my journey walking with the Lord, walking with, you know, as a daughter of Christ, as a saved woman, you know, the blessings of that journey. And then my evolution as I went on to research, embrace, and then align myself to embrace an ancestral faith, you know, what that meant for my spiritual walk. And there was a whole evolutionary journey with that. I don't know, we may have to do a show just to talk about that and what that meant to me. But what I will say is that it opened me up to new schools of thought. It opened me up to explore what was put in by, you know, and I'm just going to be direct, by men who wanted to, you know, put patriarchy on the map, who wanted to use the dogma, you know, that is involved with gender identity and gender expression to oppress people and keep themselves in positions of power. You know, if we're going to get to the truth, we have to talk about these things, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly that are part of our faith experiences. And, right. You know, and so there is some and all of the above. There's the blessings, the goodness, the richness, you know, of Christianity, the people that are getting healed and helped and empowered. But then there's also the ugly side, the oppression, the use by, you know, white supremacists and racism, and the inclusion of, you know, certain scriptures and writing, right, and plagiarizing and changing of scriptures to oppress people. So putting things like black people are one-fifth of a human into the scripture. So we understand that this was put into the scripture, right? So if people could put lies like that in the scripture, things in there that are not true, and not aligned with who and what God is.
It's amazing, though, when a person gets to a point of realization, and one of the mothers in the church said it to me best. She said, you need to know God for yourself. And so when a person is getting to a point of going through abuse, and that's on one hand of it, the abuse actually causes, you know, a person to get involved within themselves and to, you know, shut down. It makes me want to, you know, think and listen for something in myself. And because I had gotten to the point of knowing and seeing that, you know, who is God for me? I mean, because, you know, the pastor God, he says one thing, and, you know, the mothers and the fathers and the parents and everybody just kind of does the best they can. But when it comes down to, you know, especially like knowing God and especially as a young person, because your hormones are there, your body is there, and they tell you your body is the temple of the living God. And but then, you know, this thing called sex comes up, and, you know, then they say, well, no, you can't involve yourself in it. So how do you get to a point where you can accept the whole person?
This is the question of the millennium, you know, being able to accept the truth and embrace the practices that are right for us and our spirit, right, that resonate with our spirit, and allow other people to do the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. walking, you know, and honoring scripture, walking in non-judgment of other people's walk and leaving the judgment to God, because none of us qualify for that position, right? We know the robes are too tight for the average human being. So we can't wear that garment. We don't own that garment. And when we step into trying to wear the garment that God owns and that only God has the right to exercise, that's when confusion, dissension, wars, and conflict take us backward, right?
You know,
so with God sets spirituality, yes?
It's one of those things that one of my mentors, and I never met him, but he teaches me from his books and from his writings and from his recordings. His name is Howard Thurman, and he's got a rich legacy of the spiritual journey of knowing, and he was mentor to Dr. King. He was the mentor to the civil rights. He was the legislation, the when the marchers came back in from the bus boycotts and sitting at the lunch counters and getting beat down. And Howard Thurman was the one in the background. They said that they were looking for a leader, but in Howard Thurman, they found a mystic. And mystic is one that is not necessarily really been popularized in the churches that we know, the Quakers. They embraced mysticism. The Roman Catholic Church embraced mysticism. In the Baptist tradition and Protestant tradition, you know, we can see it in different forms of, you know, she got the Holy Ghost, or they're speaking in tongues, or, you know, the Lord told me this. The Lord laid something on my heart to you. So in this knowing God for oneself, Howard Thurman, he came up with this writing. It was, he was called to speak. He was actually, his first teaching job was at Spelman College. And he was called, he had two assignments there when he first was called there. And he was called there to speech at one of their graduations. And this is just part of it. You can pull it up on the internet if you're so desiring. It is called The Sound of the Genuine. And this is what Howard Thurman's words are. He says, there is something in every person, something that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in herself or himself. There is in you something that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself. Nobody like you has ever been born.
Wow.
And no one like you would ever be born again. You are the only one. And if you miss the sound of the genuine in you, you will be a cripple all the rest of your life. Because
wow.
you will never be able to get a scent of who you are.
Mm.
And he goes on, he says, who are you?
Mm.
And can you find a way to hear the sound of the genuine in yourself? There are so many noises going on inside, so many echoes of all sorts, so many internalizing of the rumble, the traffic, the confusion, the disorders by which your environment as in people, that I wonder if you can still, if you can get still enough, not quiet enough, still enough to hear rumbling up from your unique and essential idiom, the sound of the genuine in you.
Mm.
But this is your assignment. He says it's it waits and it listens for the sound of the genuine. And if you cannot hear it, you will never find what it is that you're searching. And if you hear it and you do not follow it, it would be better if you had never been born.
Wow. Wow, that is amazing. And I'm going to have to look that up and Google that because, you know, authenticity of self.
Yeah.
And I think when we're, you know, when we're dealing, Baba Carl, you know, Baba is a Yoruba word that just means father, but it also
yes.
speaks to, you know, your status and state and role
yes.
in the world, you know, as a teacher and father to humanity. So, but when we look at the authenticity of self and the importance of that, and we look at how certain religions or religious institutions want to force their idea and ideal of who a human being should be based on, you know, ancient texts, we see the faultiness of that. We see the flawedness of such a, you know, dynamic of such an institution, right, because determines who we are going to be. Well, in my tradition, in the Ifa tradition, it is our own, it is our Ori, and certainly it is the God force, you know, who we make agreement with about our destiny, about our mission, and our purpose while occupying a human body. So if it determines how we will move and how we will be, it also determines how we love, right?
Yeah.
And sex and sexuality comes from the creation of a human being. Thus, it has to be in alignment someplace in that, you know, that cycle with God and who God is. And so when we start to talk about God and sex and sexuality together, what we want to search for, and this is what I want to leave with our listeners today or lead with in this discussion, is we want to look for the sacredness.
Right.
That's what we want to search for, is the place of sacredness. Now, where does sacredness come from? And looking at the origin of that word, sacred and sacredness, right? We find
yes.
words and synonyms like holy. Now, isn't that interesting? When we start looking at what does sacred mean? And then we find words like holy, okay? And when you see, you know, you look at this act of communion, of connection, of human connection. And it's not just, and we all grown listening to this. You know, hopefully it's no minor, because this is a grown folks show. This episode is for grown people, right? Adults who can make decisions for themselves, okay?
Yeah.
So when we look at this act of union, of reunion, of coming together, we hope that the sacredness is always going to be a part of it, right? Part of it, and consent of the individual, not a stranger. So it is my belief that, you know, a stranger has no part in dictating what I'm going to do with my body, even if it's wrong. No one else is going to decide what I do. And for me, that is God. For me, it is God that gives me that power to make sound decisions about what I'm going to do with my body. And so, you know, taking that back, you know, and again, last thing I'll say, I'm going to hand the mic back to you, is, you know, who makes decisions about what we are going to do with our body, and how do we honor our own teachings and the utterlings coming from our heart and our spirit and our bodies?
Well, I just kind of want to go into what you're talking about as far as, you know, when we're taught to that this is what the Word of God says, and you got to behave in this particular way. And with one lady last conversation we had, she asked the question, well, how do you resolve that issue of feeling guilty, you know, because of your choices or your involvement or whatever reason, you feel guilty. You know, so where do you find refuge at if the Spirit of God being presented is basically a mean, old, angry kind of person that, in fact, you know, so mean that, you know, he's going to burn you forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Hitler only burned him one time.
I think
so,
that.
Yeah.
Your question. Is that a question?
Yes. Within the statement.
We have to question what feels right to our own spirit. And you started off the conversation, the dialogue today, with talking about our authentic self, who we are, who God made us to be. And when we start, and what happens to our spirit when we start to oppress who God created us. And we know who we are. We come here. We see little kids. We see child prodigies who are master pianists, or, you know, learning medicine and how to make medicine, who are scientists, 5 years old, 10 years old, 7 years old. So we know who we are very young. At a young age, we start to have an inkling of who God created us to be. But oftentimes it's the pressure of family, of society, of religion, that takes us off of that path. So I think that right there is one of the dictators of that. And guilt is a useless emotion. It is a thief. Unless we are hurting somebody, right? Bringing harm, if what we're doing, our acts, are bringing harm to a person, then that to me is where the guilt lies. But if what we're doing doesn't hurt anybody and it makes us happy, it brings us happiness, or even pleasure, then I feel like, you know, that has to be alignment with some divine force. So I think we need balance. And I'll stop there and turn the mic back to you. What does that balance look like?
It's, you know, it comes to a point of knowing truth and what is truth, because I've been through so much pain, rejection, failure, and one of the things that they speak about in the Bible, too, because I just don't discard the Bible, because there's a lot of good in there, and there's a lot of good in churches. There's a lot of good in people. I wouldn't be who I am if I had not been raised in, quote unquote, the church, even though it wasn't one church. But the church, as I learned, is the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones who allow God to manifest in oneself. And in the scripture that I utilize for that is Genesis 1 and 27, where God says that, you know, let us create humans in our image. Well, number one, God was not alone. And the essence of God is not from a human understanding. That's from a spiritual understanding. Even though we have physical bodies, they would say all the time in the church that you're a spiritual being, but you're having an earthly experience. And so just recently, even the Queen, you know, she just made her transition, and She was known to have owned 1/6 of the land on earth. And all of the money, all of the finery and the jewelries and the blue star diamond and the castles and the palaces and everything, she had to leave it all just like my daddy did. And when we come down to the truth of life, that life is a gift, that life is something that is outside of ourselves, that we can't control everything, that we have to be able to come to the conclusion that the only place that we can really make a decision is right here and right now.
Wow. That is so deep. She could take none of it with her, with all of her power.
Right. All of her power.
She came here with. Wow.
Right. And just like, you know, and I like to make it real practical and pragmatic. Because money is such a big thing, and I know we're working on God and sex and spirituality, but there's a concept known as Kimberly Crenshaw says there's intersectionality, where all of it is intertwined, all of it is brought together. If you've got oppression in one area, and it's related to the oppression of feminism, it's related to the oppression in prisons, it's related to oppression in Ferguson, it's related to the oppression in Palestine. It is just oppression. If you've got people oppressed, then you've got, you know, supremacy on top of them. But when it comes down to knowing that everything is intertwined within life, and we get to the point of saying, you know, I am a human being, and I have just as much right to live and to breathe as the queen or as a person that has to sleep underneath the freeway. And we have kind of bought into this society that we have. We've made it complicated, and we can recreate it. We can, you know, abolish a lot of these things. But one lady that I met, and I was, you know, in L.A., and I was at this store. It was called, I think it was called Buy Low, you know, because I love to buy low. But they have good products. And so I got to the car, and it was a nice day. I had the window down, and she was there. She came over to the car, and she said, "Got a dollar, got a dollar, got a dollar, got a dollar, got a dollar. Got a dollar?" And I said, yeah, I got a dollar, you know. And you got a dollar, you got a dollar. You going to give me a dollar, you got a dollar. I said, "Hold it for a minute, wait just a minute. I'm human." And then she indicted the whole world. She said to me, she said, "Those are words I do not use." She's been reduced to a piece of paper, ink and chlorophyll.
Wow.
Because our society, where we have now, everything is profit, everything is get the money, everything is going after it. You know, how is it that we have mega churches, but we don't have mega banks? We don't have mega insurance companies or mega colleges in, you know, our Black or African American, whatever term we're calling ourselves now, in our community. You know, why is it that when you deal with, you know, society, and we've got all of these quote unquote moralities that, you know, saying, you know, well, if, you know, you just pray right and you stay right and you sure got to pay right, then everything going to be all right. Well, it was all right for the pastor because he's looking at all them $100 bills coming down the pike. But, you know, the reality is, how do we embrace God in such a manner where we recognize God, whether it's in the queen or whether it's in the lady that's under the freeway or the lady that's being abused or the lady that is in a domestic violence situation? It's all intertwined, just like Donovan Lewis was a 20-year-old Black man. His lady and his mama or her mama or someone, they called in about a domestic violence thing, and the police going to decide to do a raid at 2:30 in the morning, like, you know, he's some, you know, major mass murderer or something. And then they go in and they kick the door in, and he's got a vape pen in his hand, and he says, "I'm going to send in the dog," but he sends in a bullet and takes his life. So how is it our concept of God allows, you know, such atrocities, allows such violation of women when it comes to sexuality, allows a spiritual understanding that, you know, does not speak up for the least of these? You know, what my idea is that if you're going to be a whole person, can we tell the truth? Can we embrace God where we are, as we are, to be real, that the reality is we're not God? And so I kind of, you know, I want you to kind of respond to this as far as these people that are listening and wanting to get some insight. How do you step out on faith to follow what you know is right and whole for yourself, be it your body, be it your money, be it your job? How do you get to that boldness that you show in to explore other religions or explore other people? What was the catalyst that caused you to step out?
I think that at some point our quest for inner, our own spiritual, mental, and emotional health becomes more important than pleasing other people or catering to a system that is responsible for much of the world's wars and conflict and dissent. And we have to get to a place of truth about that. So I think we have to, one is to abandon fear in light of, you know, first our own peace and wellness, but then greater peace and wellness in the world. I think that we have to challenge the status quo, and we have to be fearless in it while being compassionate and kind where we can. So I don't think we need to demonize anybody to speak our truths, right?
Right, right.
Those of us who are called here to revolutionize archaic and outdated and destructive belief systems, you know, have to band together, and we have to move in courage, you know, because we know there is going to be resistance. There never, change has never come without resistance. And so when we talk about, you know, our topic, God, sex, and spirituality, to even talk about it is revolutionary, because you don't hear those three words spoken in the same group at the same moment. So I think we want to look at the church's idea, which is that sex is for recreation and the pleasure primarily of the male participant. And then we want to look at the spiritual concept of sex, that sex is a sacred and holy act between humans who are at an age or space that they can make a responsible decision about it and to consent. Because let's be real, you know, every human being nor people of every age are not capable of giving consent, nor are they at a place or qualified to make decisions about sex and sexuality. So people have to, you know, have a certain grounding to be able to make decisions about sex in their life. So, again, the spiritual concept of sex is a sacred and holy act between
right.
humans who are a responsible age. And then versus the church's idea that sex is for procreation, which, you know, we know millions and millions of quote-unquote Christians are not operating under that. And
well,
that
you
is
know,
so much pressure.
Uh-huh.
Yes?
Go ahead.
Let me just say it's so pressure on individuals who try to walk with that most of the time it ends up not working, you know. And that's it, Pastor, you know, looking at, you know, like really what is working and what isn't working in the whole religious church system. And, I mean, that's not the only religious system. We're talking about it through that lens because that's one of the most prominent ideas in the mainstream. But the truth is most people on the planet are not walking in that. Not if we talk about integrity and truth, they're not following that. Pass the mic. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, when I got older, then you know, I was able to look at it like the acronym SEX, Sacred Energy Exchange.
Oh,
between two
I
people.
Love that.
Mm. So we, you know, we have consent because, you know, we're one, and that's I think that's one of the major themes that we have in this conversation about God and sex and spirituality is that it allows for to recognize the best in one person and to have your permission to be free, to be yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the healing that can come through that, you know, allows us to look at the violation, even using the backdrop of Christianity and other faiths, then we can start to get into a place of truth and healing with the violations. And I'm talking about rape, incest, you know, sexual abuse, abuse of children, which, you know, the church is really doing poorly at dealing with this and responding to that crisis. And there's only a few pastors who've been bold and courageous enough to even talk about it. But when we start to look at the abuses, even in the church, you know, in the Catholic Church, you know, the abuses of clergy. Of
yeah, and Baptist Church, they've got it too,
right?
Southern Baptist. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a big scandal going on now. Yeah, and I think it's a human condition.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a human condition, and there has to be something that brings one to, you know, sear one consciousness now. And not that just to be totally transparent, when I was 3 years old, then my mother, she decided to leave. And by the time I turned six, my babysitter decided to have sex with me. And by 11 years old, I was, you know, because my mother abandoned me, but my dad was a seaman. And so we were left in the hands of this person and that person and extended family in the black neighborhoods. And, you know, Aunt Helen, she was instrumental in keeping us and cleaning and teaching us and being mannerable. But there came different times. By the time I got to 11, my big sister, you know, she had a boyfriend. He decided he was going to jump on her. And so, you know, my daddy was a cook, a chef. And, you know, he was teaching me how to cook. And so, you know, I showed him one of them butcher knives, and he ran off and left his car.
Wow.
So, you know, hurt people. And so
yeah.
I went through life 25 years of abusing and misusing and, you know, you the big time player, you got this or you got that. And you want to now all of a sudden when you get to a certain age, then you're going to just shut all that down and say, well, I'm just going to marry this one woman and everything's going to be just fine. So there's karma associated with that. If you plant potatoes, you don't pick tomatoes.
Mm, mm.
So, you know, we go through life. My daddy said on his deathbed as he was leaving, he said that everything you do on this planet, you pay for on this planet before you leave this planet.
Mm, mm,
Now, it may not be popular, but if we're honest, we know that, you know, like we used to say in the street, what goes around comes around. It's like a child knows who to like and a dog knows who to bite.
Come on now. Yes.
So we can make it real plain. But one of my mentors said to me many years ago, and he said, Carl, you could be 60 to 70% more in who you ought to be. The ethical question, the moral question, who you ought to be, but I don't think you're that honest. It wasn't a put down. It was an admonition to moving to what Howard Thurman said, and as you said, authenticity, to being genuine, to telling the truth, to facing the facts. And my mama Betty, she said that the truth may hurt, but hiding it only makes it worse.
Absolutely. I mean, your testimony is so powerful, and sadly, it's not unique. It's not rare.
No.
This is a major issue, and so we rather focus on what adults are doing than address the real crimes that are happening against humanity and children and babies and women. Like, you know, how we want to talk about sin, but we don't want to talk about domestic violence, but we don't want to talk about abuse, and we don't want to talk about rape. How can we be talking about sin and not talk about the worst sins that exist on the planet, things that are being done? Because I'm sorry, two consenting adults having sex outside of marriage typically is not killing anybody. Now, whatever you believe, and I honor whatever values you need to set for yourself. If you believe you shouldn't have sex outside of procreation or without your husband or wife, hey, I support you in walking that. Stay in it,
right?
But two people who break that covenant did not kill anybody, did not rape anybody, did not incest a child. So I'm saying that to say, what do we need to focus on, right? And why are we not focusing on the things that are destroying our families and our children's spirit? Right? That horrific act happened to you. That's what we need to focus on. That's the priority. Because I believe if we can end those crimes, then we can change everything else. Everything else can be brought back into alignment. And what is supposed to be sacred and holy will be. Submit that a lot of the acts, the illegal and heinous acts that are being committed by these individuals are because they're oppressing parts of themselves that are their authentic selves. And they don't want to deal with so to hide the fact that they may be attracted to someone of the same gender, they go and violate a little baby, a child, a male child, because they don't want to deal with the fact that they are attracted to someone of the same gender because the church says that's wrong. And this is what we have to combat. You know, we talked in the last episode, Pastor, about Bishop Carlton Pearson and the movement. I don't know if people have seen his show on, I think it's on Netflix, his movie, the movie about his life. And called First Come Sunday or?
We can pull it up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, everybody should see that film. Because, you know, of course, you know, he stood up against this kind of, you know, oppression and religious extremism. And he talked about, you know, his belief that when Christ died on the cross, that not just one people, but everybody's sin was absorbed. And so he talked about the price had already been paid and that what we needed now was forgiveness and compassion and tolerance. That those were the qualities that, you know, Christians needed to develop and expand on. And I say it again because I don't want to promote the idea that there's only one spiritual practice in the world that's valid. So for me, it's important as someone who, you know, grew up in the church, grew up studying the Bible backwards and forwards, but also went, you know, as part of my healing journey, became a Yoruba priestess and went through initiatory journeys and healing of my ancestors through that path as well. You know, so I don't want to promote the idea that there's only one faith that's valid, because I don't believe that. And so
every concept of God, every idea, every thought is an interpretation.
Yeah.
Every religion is an interpretation. And last time I checked, God was beyond all interpretation. God is omnipotent, you know, all powerful,
yes,
omnipresent, everywhere at all times, omniscient, all knowledge, all awareness. And so how can you take all of God and put all of God in one anything?
Yes, yes.
You're just
exactly
fooling yourself. I mean, you have to be God. You have to be. You must be God. Even Prince, he said, everything you think is true. And it is true for you.
Okay?
It's true.
I love it. Yes.
Everything you think is true for you.
It's true for you.
Yeah. It's true for you.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm going to steal that chapter.
It's like, you know, I deal with people in counseling, and I deal with on a physical level. We have a body so that we can operate on the planet. We have a mind so that we can understand ourselves. We have a spirit,
yes,
which is connected to God. And when we live in a material world, like Madonna said, a material girl, there's nothing wrong with that. But just remain in balance so that your spirit is nourished. Janet Jackson said there's nothing more depressing than having everything and still being depressed. See,
that's
so
it.
You can have all the materialism, all the cars, the dreams, the wonderful trips and all that stuff, but if you don't have what Howard Thurman said, the sound of the genuine, and you listen for that sound in yourself where you have that spiritual connection.
Yeah.
And even John P. Key, he wrote a song, and he said, when you feel yourself slipping, just reach up and tie a new knot. And that's in the spirit. Your spiritual connection is the connection.
Yes.
I call it,
yes,
you know, they talk about the soul because, you know, in the soul, love and, you know, but if you make room for light, you got to make room for dark. If you make room for love, you got to make room for hate. That's why I'm not a positive mental action person, because you got to make room for a negative mental action. So I'm a hope-filled person. I follow what thus saith the Lord to me in my spirit. And the only thing I'm scared of is being scared. Okay? And so when you know God for yourself, you're a dangerous person. Jeremiah said, it's just like fire set up in my bones. I have to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend James Holmes of Union Theological Seminary, he said, don't bother him. He got the can't help it. He just got the can't help it. And so when there's something on the inside of you, it connects you to the best of you, and it connects you to the best in other people. Brother Blue, who was a Baba father to me in my life and mentor to me, he said, from the middle of me to the middle of you.
Mm. Mm.
And he was a storyteller. He storytelled in Cambridge on the streets, and he was an earned PhD. But that wasn't his calling. His calling and his ministry, that's how they called out Dr. King, because Dr. King, he stood up against the Vietnam War. And even the National Black Baptist Convention kicked Dr. King out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can't be so caught up in skin tone and complexion, because race is truly, biologically, it's only skin deep. And that's why they can, you know, transfer one heart to another person's heart despite, long as you got tissue and blood match. And so, but Dr. Mm-hmm. King, he was willing to take the risk to stand up against what is wrong when they were napalming and dropping bombs on all on Vietnam and spending 50 to close to $500,000 over there per death. And what Eisenhower warned us about was the prison industrial complex. All of these things are intertwined together when we are in a system that allows oppression. And what has happened and what has alienated so many people from the church is because they thought the church was the building.
Yeah.
But you are the called out one, the ecclesia. You are the church of the living God. He says, I dwell in a house that's not made by hand. If it's a house not made by hand, what is it made with? Hello. Come on, sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's made with you. So the Spirit of God, it says in Genesis 1:27, you are created in the Spirit. And so being a spiritual person, being able to get above the situation, and I like this, you know, this example that I use in the airplane. When you get above it, and the young folks talking about, you know, you can elevate, or, you know, we used to say get high, you know, or they get the blunt, you get a cut, or, you know, back in the day, you know, they had to get a fix because of all of the pain of life. And Dr. Carl Hart, he is a neurosurgeon, black man, and he talks about drugs and talks about the necessity of drugs. There's never been a society in a time in our society when drugs were not there. And people want to talk about illicit drugs or illegal drugs. I got one question for you. Why don't they ever run out?
That's another show.
Maybe,
that's,
you know,
that's another show.
That's another show. I'm gonna get to that one too another day. But
my last knock. The sheep and the wolves is about the opioid crisis in America. And so that's a very real question. I just want to add one more point of reflection, because I know we're getting down to the wire. I want to just add this idea that each of us to recognize, and because you asked, how do you get the courage to stand up, to be you, to, you know, to overcome guilt, to stand in who you know you are, who you've always known you are.
Yeah.
So what I want to say is to embrace the expression of divinity in yourself.
There you go.
In what way feels good to your heart and to your soul. And how you know it, that your alignment with who God created you to be is the peace that you feel. On that morning when I woke up and I looked at myself in the mirror and I felt a sense of joy that I could not explain with words.
Yes.
That's when I knew I had achieved what God brought me here to do and be. And yes, often it's fleeting. Sometimes you have to work hard to get back there. But when you can achieve that moment, when you look into your own eyes, at your reflection, and you feel not only peace, then you start to feel joy, right?
Yeah.
You start to feel and you just feel happy, and it's nothing that happened. It's no money. You didn't get a check. Nothing's wrong with that. But that's not the cause for your happiness. Your happiness is emanating inside your spirit, down in your soul, right?
Yeah,
so walking in that joy, ask God to me.
Absolutely.
And if
God in yourself.
In yourself to achieve and express the divinity in you. That's what I want to say to the listeners. You know, whether you listen.
It doesn't matter if you're a Christian, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist, or if you're Jewish, or, you know, Zoroastrianism, or, you know, whatever, African traditional religion, if you're into voodoo, a hoodoo, whatever. It is your relationship, your God. And I can guarantee that no matter what religion you are, it's about your relationship with God and your relationship that is expressed through the people who are around you.
Yes.
I mean, there comes a point when we just got to be that honest. And that's the whole thing about sex, too, because I don't flip it back to sex. I love sex. Don't get me wrong. But if it's dishonest, then it's not intimate. Because if you're intimate, then there's intimacy. You know, if I'm coming honestly, then I'm coming into me, see. Honestly. Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, honestly.
No, you didn't. No, you
didn't. Yeah. In fact, Isaiah, he was told by God to preach butt naked and barefoot, which he did for about 3.5 years. Hello, it's in Isaiah 20 for those who want to check.
What?
It's Isaiah preached butt naked because there's a scripture in the Bible that says naked and not ashamed. And I'm pretty sure the message had to do something with, you know, y'all doing all that stuff behind them closed doors. Come on out here and do it.
Yes.
Be honest with it. I mean, if you're going to do it, then own it. I had a lady, she would call me, and, you know, she's smoking them cigarettes. You know, I used to smoke them cigarettes when I was young. And, you know, smoking them cigarettes, man, I don't blame you. Yeah, you know, dude smoking them cigarettes. She said she want to quit because she got such and such and this and that. And I said, well, that's a good thing. I understand you want to quit. And she was asking me how to quit because she had tried the patch and tried this and tried that. I said, you got to own it. I said, do you like smoking cigarettes? Oh, yeah, I like smoking. I said, can you afford them? Oh, yeah, I can afford them. Can you afford the cancer to come with it?
No, you didn't. I love it.
So if you're going to own it, then own the whole thing. It's just like a lot of people that, you know, one of my mentors, man, they love them sweets. And you know, he got them diabetes, you know, and things like that. And so it's just like with the salt, the sweet, anything we do in excess. I having some problem because I write a lot with my hand. And so I got some, what they call it, a little pain, tendonitis in my hand and stuff. I got to own that. And the lady told me I need to do this and this and this. And I looked online and figured out. And so if I want to change my life, then I got to be willing to own the fact that I'm doing something that could be detrimental.
Mm.
And if it's all the way, honestly, if this thing is killing me, am I ready to check out?
Yeah.
Am I really, really that honest? Mm. Because, you know, the thing is that I have to be transparent enough to own it, and because in the spirit it says created in Genesis 1:27, it says created in the image of God. It doesn't say born. It says created in the image of God. Created.
Wow.
God is the spirit. Jesus even said that God is the spirit, and those that worship God in spirit. And in truth, truth is our material world, our real world, you know, gravity, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planet, you know, the ocean, and people want to talk about drugs. You can do anything and get hooked on it. It ain't got nothing to do with just drugs. You can be hooked on sugar, you can be hooked on salt, you can be hooked on swimming, you can be hooked on, you know, working yourself to death, whatever. It doesn't matter, but The bottom line is not how you die. We all die the same way. Your heart stops.
Yeah.
Stop breathing. And you just stop breathing, period. Your heart stops, and that's it. Se acabó. Hasta la vista. You know, hey, catch you later, baby.
Right.
And so the bottom line is that we have to think and be wise. And thinking and being wise are two different things. You've got knowledge, but then you got a body of knowledge. And it's just like a smorgasbord. You go into a smorgasbord or to a buffet, you don't eat everything that's in there, even though it may all look good. Some of it don't. Some of it do. And a lot of your stuff do look good, you know, and you go up and taste it, and it tastes something pretty good. But you can't eat all of it. And so you got to be wise. You know, I would love to, you know, have been born a little bit, you know, better looking and smarter, but this is it. This is what I got. I have to accept me as I am. Right.
That's the truth.
And see, people don't want to face the truth.
And we know that knowledge without is ineffective. We have to be able to know what to do with what we know. And here's the big clincher. The more we know, the more we realize we still have yet to learn.
Yes.
Yes.
And hopefully we got capacity and make room to learn. Because if you read, you know, all the books that's written over 1,000 years about one subject, if it's medical or science or spirituality or, you know, cars or whatever, they didn't have cars for 1,000 years, but, you know, whatever the subject is, at the end of those 1,000 years of reading all those books, there'll be another 1,000 years of books to read.
Exactly.
Even in the Bible, it says all of the deeds of Jesus were not done in that book. They were not written down. There's not enough books to write down everything that Jesus has done. It's just like we talk about Jesus, but, you know, the truth of the matter, Jesus asked the question. He said, why do you call me good? There's none good except God. And so, you know, how are we going to be able to face the truth about it? And then I always ask this question, too. I say, would Jesus be any less Jesus without the miracles? You know, without the fish sandwiches, you know. You know, without the walking on the water. And so I go to where he met the woman at the well, you know, and she became the first recorded evangelist. And he asked her a question. He says, where's your husband? And she said, I ain't got no husband. He said, yeah, you have told the truth. You ain't got no husband. You had 5 husbands, and you're shacking up with the one you got right now. But she became the first recorded evangelist because she had to go and tell somebody. She said, I met a man, and he done talked all underneath my clothes so sweetly, so nicely, so embracingly, that it was the gospel. It was the good news. You know, it's the good news of those with their backs against the wall. What does the word of Jesus say to those with their backs against the wall? That's Howard Thurman. That's the name of the special. You can pull it up on YouTube. The backs against the wall, and it's Howard Thurman. And y'all need to get into Howard Thurman. He was just an amazing man. He was the first black man ever to be a dean of a major university, European American university, known as Boston University. And he says here in his book, Jesus and the Disinherited. That's his book. You need to get it. It was been told that Dr. King carried this book with him. He said, I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of times that I heard a sermon on the meaning of religion, of Christianity, to the man who stands with his back against the wall. It is urgent that my meaning be crystal clear. The masses of men, and excuse me for the non-inclusive language because that was part of his, you know, he was born in 1891, okay? So, right. So he was an older man. And the masses of men live, and I can put in human, the masses of humans live with their backs constantly against the wall. They are the poor, the disinherited, the dispossessed. What does our religion say to them? The issue is not what it counsels them to do for others whose need may be greater, but what religion offers to meet their own need. The search for an answer to this question is perhaps the most important religious quest of modern life. So we got all of these big churches and all of these things, but what does that say to the people with their backs against the wall, with the immigrants, with the children that are being abused, with the women that are beat down, with the laws that say you got to, you know, have a forced birth, even in the case of rape or incest. How vulgar.
What?
How
vulgar. What does that say? I mean, that is such a powerful question when you say, and what does that give to the people whose backs are against the wall? And when we look at what's going on in the world today,
yes,
we look at the flow of wealth, and I know we're kind of getting off topic, but I believe it's all connected, both the religions, the religious oppression, our economic situation in the world today, the flow of money, the flow of wealth, the continued exploitation from the prison industry, gun violence, the
right.
gun wealth, all of that, is connected. And it's all part of one cipher and one cycle. And so when we look at dismantling portions of that and, changing the systems that keep us in these sick, oppressive, keep one part of the world or one part of the society rich and the other part struggling at best, we know we're tapping into something very powerful. And so all of these little pieces from, God sex and spirituality, as well as the economic situation on the planet, are all connected and they're all linked back to each other. And so people may think, why is this discussion important? Because only through getting to the truth can we begin to deprogram and desystemize and, dismantle these systems that keep people and human beings oppressed and at war with each other and keep us divided. And there is a concerted effort in the world to keep us divided on lines
yes.
of religion and sexual identity and
yes.
sex and sexuality. So when
yeah,
we start
God,
saying, this
spirituality.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That's some bull, and we're all worshiping the same divine source at the end of the day. And my question is it about love? Is it about light? And does it make the planet and the people who live on it better or worse?
Right.
What
right.
you're teaching or what you're promoting. If it doesn't make us better, then we know it's not God. Because God is love, and that's in every scripture. And every scriptural reference takes us back to God is love. And so I think, for me at the end of the day, Pastor, what I'm trying to do is to, increase love and to decrease hate.
Right.
To, help make people as a whole happier within themselves. That's my work. That's my mission. My purpose is to help, the people who live on the planet be happy, because if people are happy, they're less likely to harm or hurt another human being. And so, so in my, my spiritual work, and I don't really align with organized religion, I align with spirituality. And I support, whatever resonates for each human being at any point in their life, because we know that as we grow, we also evolve.
Exactly.
So just looking at that, I don't know if we have callers on the line that want to chime in.
We've got
I know
one caller. Yeah, we've got a caller on the line.
Okay.
And if they want to come in, please press number one. It'll raise a hand, and I'll see it, and I'll bring you right in. But I just wanted to share where Howard Thurman goes on. He says, the sound of the genuine is flowing through you. Do not be deceived, thrown off by all the noises that are part, even of your dreams, your ambitions. All these things that you don't hear the sound of the genuine in you. Because that is the only true guide that you will ever have. And if you don't have that, you don't have a thing. You may be famous. You may be whatever other ideas that are part of this generation. But you haven't got the foggiest notion who you are, where you are going, what you want.
Yeah.
Wow. Cultivate the discipline of listening to the sound of the genuine in yourself, and that's beyond religion and creed and color. Caller, are you there? Okay, I think they just want to listen. They don't want to join in on the conversation. We are still coming through on live. We still have a few more minutes. If you had one thing to share before we get out of here, what would you tell the people? Because Dr. King, he said, there's something so dear, something so precious, something so eternally true that they are worth dying for. And I submit to you that if a human has not discovered something that he or she will die for, then she or he is not fit to live. There they are. Mm. They're wanting to come on in. Hi, caller. Thank you so much. God bless you. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello. I don't know if it's me or not. Thank you very much for the stimulating conversation.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good. I just wanted to say that I think that this has been a very stimulating conversation. And the question I have is I don't ascribe to the traditional Christian beliefs, but I support the Christian beliefs because I'm a Buddhist. But one of the things that I'm getting from this is truly for us, it is uplifting the good in everyone because that lifts the good in us all. And so how does that play with, you know, some of the guidance and theories of some of the ministers who are preaching, you know, disenfranchisement of people that don't follow along with what they think or actually negative things like, you know, cast out these because they're sinners. That kind of conversation.
Thank you for your question. Love, Tashia, you want to answer that one?
Can you repeat the question, Pastor, and also the first name of the caller? Could you say your first name and where you're calling from?
My name is Pepper, and I'm calling from California. And my question is, some of the Christian leaders have a very strident philosophy or preaching that calls for casting out of others or disassociating yourself with others that they believe are not following their particular path. How do you think that plays in today's world?
Wow.
Okay.
Yes, that's a one. You want to get that one, or do you want me to?
Yeah, that's
fine.
I mean, one of the things is that when individuals stand up and they want to talk about, you know, who's right and who's wrong and who's in and who's not, the interesting thing that it always includes themselves as being in, and then they always want to put other people beneath them, and so if you don't believe like I believe and you don't walk like I walk. And then they've got this exclusivity, and it's almost like a little club effect that, you know, you have to be, you know, of that religious belief in order to fit in to their, you know, scenario, their sect. But how did Jesus define it? One day a woman who was brought to Jesus in the act of adultery, you know, that woman, they were going to stone her to death. But Jesus said, he that don't have sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. But there was no stones thrown that day. So what they do is that they'll take exclusive scriptures and then want to create an environment, exclude certain people and brings other people in. But that is not the religion of Jesus. That might be their idea of the religion because Jesus looked beyond all people's faults. And God is not of that exclusivity. And the thing is that what I do is literally to attempt to love them in spite of themselves, because we are taught to love, but it don't mean necessarily that I like them. We don't have to have coffee together, but if you love someone and looking at the human side of it, then because as long as there's life, there's hope. And as long as there's life and hope, then there's an area of redemption. But it's sort of like when I look at it, you know, if anybody is followed into a segregationist or assimilationist or anti-racist, so the segregationist is a strict hater. It doesn't matter. But if they get in a situation where, you know, like in a tornado or hurricane, then, you know, all of those, it's just like when you see people being rescued down south when they're having the hurricane, there's no flags and there's no guns. And so there comes a point in life where everybody has to be able to face reality of facing themselves and facing their own humanity. Unfortunately, there are still a lot of people who preach segregation. I mean, at the height, the KKK had about 5 million members in the United States. But see, even as black people, and as much as, you know, there's been isolated incidents of black people standing up against white supremacy and Denmark Vesey and Nat Turner and so forth like that, but there's never been a black form of the KKK. And so even though some people, you know, that's hopefully, did I miss you or did I answer your question?
No, you answered the question. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. And I'll just add to that I believe that any doctrine, any religious ideology that condemns or rejects or believes in throwing away a person who is different or who walks a path unlike or different than theirs, any doctrine that says throw that person away should be rejected, because it is not walking in the light and the love of God, because even scripture says God shall have no respect of person. So we know that just if we're just dealing and talking about Christianity, the Christ had no part in rejecting people who didn't fit the norm. In fact, the Christ gravitated toward the people who were society's reject. And I think that we as human beings should search for places, organizations, groups, and people in the world that are about cultivating inclusivity, love, and light among humanity. That's what the world needs more of. And we certainly have enough divisive and, you know, organizations that are about, you know, creating division and disunifying, if that's the word, you know, people and humanity. So we need to cultivate spaces where there is inclusivity, where we can exist, and in the midst of them, in peace and respect, that we need to cultivate that and turn away from anything that leaves people out based on them being different or not adhering to a quote-unquote mainstream concept of life and love and self-expression. Ashe.
Ashe.
Thank you.
You're welcome. One of the things that in one of Prince concerts, he asked everybody, he says, how many of y'all in here believe in God? And everybody said, yay. And how many of y'all in here love God? Yay. And then he says, how many in here know how God want to be loved? And that's where it breaks down at. And that's what he said. We got 20 churches in a 1 mile radius, and everybody got their own way of worshiping God. See, but because they want to accentuate differences and diversity and all that kind of stuff, when we need to actuate our similarities, that we're human that we're in need, that we need love, that we need compassion, that we need a understanding that, as my sister just said, unify.
Exactly. And thank you, Pepper, for your question.
You.
Awesome question.
Thank you.
Well, we are coming to the end of the hour, and you do get to say your little final, it ain't got to be little, you can say whatever you want to say. my sister, love, Tashia Asante, we have done part two, and we have other individual topics coming up, and knowing that, that this thing is going to continue to go forward, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, answer some questions to help some people. And what I always do too, I ask people, please don't believe me, but don't doubt me either. Check it out, because if it's true, then it'll only be verified by your own independent research. So you be the light. You be the one. You be the arbiter of God inside of you. And how does God manifest God's self? That's up to us.
Yeah. Absolutely. I guess I just want to leave people with saying, you know, please support the network, support this radio show. This is a wonderful platform that Pastor Carl has created. It's an inclusive platform, which makes it very special and needed in the universe. You can also find out more about me and my work at www.officialtashiaasante.com. You can buy my book, The Master Breakthrough, A 24-Hour Spiritual Revolution, as well as The Sacred Door and my novels and other writings there at that website, as well as on Amazon.com. And I'm always available to come out and speak for conferences, retreats, summits, do a book signing, book club talk, all that stuff. So please support us, because as we say, our art ain't free. The work that we do, you know, we put our heart and our love into it. And I just salute my brother, you know, and ally, Pastor Carl, for, you know, creating a movement based in love and light and compassion. And from the day that we met you on that cruise ship, you have been unwavering in your commitment to spread God's love and to make every human being, you know, make a place for every human being to experience the light and the love of God. So I just salute your spirit and your ori for that vision that you continue to bring forth. And if you're listening to this on the replay, you know, again, please support us. Brother Carl, if you have a portal where folk can donate so that you can keep doing this work, let us know what that website is, and I'll put it on my social media, because we're destined for abundance and prosperity, and the universe supports what we're doing. Ashe.
Absolutely, and Ashe, and thank you so much, love, Tashia and Pepper, and joining in on our conversation today. And the website that I am, it should be back up shortly, and it's at helpsomebody.net, and you can reach me at KARL Carl@helpsomebody.net. So we'll be able to participate and work this thing out, make it happen, so that this continues to go forth in strength and power and in word. And my word to you is to always to think and be wise. Thank you so much for joining in today. We greatly appreciate your participation. And no matter where you go, just know you can never go anywhere that God is not there, because God is within you. And so we have to get to the point where we accentuate the best of us in all our ways. Ashe.
Ashe.